Hey, everybody. What's going on?
Yeah.
What the hell's today? Tuesday?
Yeah, it's Tuesday. See, they're all coming in. Everybody's coming in.
That's good. Yeah. Hey, what's going on, you guys?
Yeah. Give them a few more seconds. All right. So we saw this one, I guess it was last night, wasn't it?
Or no, it was the night before night last. Before.
Yeah, night before last. And it's free on... It was Amazon, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Amazon Prime.
Okay, I didn't know if it was on that that HBO one that you had, but yeah, Amazon. And almost didn't watch it. Just scrolling through. The little fucking ad that they had for it, what do you call it?
The little thumbnail.
Yeah, the thumbnail. It didn't look too exciting and like terrible, terrible title. But then I read the captions of what it said. It said it was post-apocalyptic. So we clicked it on. And it sucked me in, man. I got it. I liked this movie. It was real good.
I did as well. It's really weird because this came out in 2018. Yeah. It's called I Think We're Alone Now. So now I've got that fucking Tiffany song stuck in my head.
Man.
Although, like I said, it's not technically a Tiffany song. It's a cover.
I think
the original was by Tommy James and the Shondells. Right. But anyway, so it gets stuck in my head. But this came out in 2018. Has Peter Dinklage in it, for Christ's sake. Has Elle Fanning in it, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Paul Giamatti's in this briefly. I think Charlotte Gainsbourg. There's only like four people in it. But I did not hear about this movie.
Yeah, never
at all.
Saw it, never.
We just came across it when we were just like scrolling through like randomly, just looking for some random shit to watch.
Yeah.
And Tom was like, "Ooh, post-apocalyptic," because he loves those. And I was like, "Oh, Peter Dinklage is in it.
I didn't know who that was.
Well, he was on Game of Thrones. I saw him. Actually, the first time I saw him in a movie was way back in 2003, I think it was The Station Agent, which you haven't seen that. That's fantastic. This movie kind of reminded me a little bit of that, but that's not post-apocalyptic, obviously. But he was playing like a similar kind of character, if I remember correctly. And Elle Fanning, I remembered her. She started out as a child star, but I remembered her from The Neon Demon because I just saw that like not too long ago.
I didn't know any of the names, you know, and when it started... I'm like, what the hell is this about? Because when it started, I was like, well, if it's no good, we'll just watch another one. We had a backup. But I was like 2 minutes into it, and I was already getting pulled into it. I was like, I got a feeling this is a good movie. And 15 minutes into it, I was like, man, this is an interesting movie. I've never seen anything like this. Starts out just a sleepy town. It looks like New England somewhere.
Yeah, I think it might be upstate New York.
Yeah, and it's just still kind of like got something out of the Omega Man, and there's one dude left, and he's a dwarf, and he's doing weird shit. He's going into houses, he's cleaning them up, he's marking off what houses he's been to and fucking spray painting in the ground, kind of like Omega Man.
Except he's going in there and cleaning.
So he's going there and cleaning, and he's taking all the dead bodies, and he's burying them all. And he doesn't say anything. And then one day he finds a fucking car wreck. And then there's a fucking pretty young girl in there. So next scene you see she wakes up. She's in bed. He's got a bandage. Or she's got a bandage on her head. And she's locked into the room. And he's on the other side of the door, you know. And he's, what are you doing here? You know, that kind of stuff. He thought he was alone, evidently. And, he was kind of afraid to let her out. And then she kind of made a joke. Oh, I thought you'd be shorter. You know? Like this funny shit.
You sounded shorter.
Right, you sounded shorter.
Because she didn't see him. She was unconscious when he found her.
So then this, like, he's trying to tell her to beat it. This is his town. You know, get out of here type of deal, you know? But she stays, and they kind of have, like, a friendship. But it takes a while, because this dude doesn't fucking talk, man. He's real introverted, you know?
He likes
the solitude.
Yeah, well, I think, like, what they're getting at... It's not real, like, heavy-handed with this. Yeah. But I think what they're getting at is that because he was a dwarf, he probably got shit on, like, most of his life. Like, got picked on and stared at and stuff. And it's like, now... Because he does make a kind of couple comments about that. But it's like, now that everybody's dead, he's like, shoo, finally. Yeah. Like, I can finally get some fucking quiet and nobody will pick on me and I can just, like, run around and do what the hell I want.
That's part of the story. But we're... friend of mine's a little person. You know, he works at Universal. And he's also worked at Disney. His name is Tito, and he hangs out at the club. And if you know any little people, man, they are all fucking ego. Okay. And they got to be the only little person around. If there's more than one of them around, they go, oh, look, I can't, oh, they are the biggest fucking haters, man.
Although that might be, like, in this movie, yeah, it's like this writ large. Yeah. It's like, well, everybody's gone, so now I'm the only, but because he thinks that he's the only person left on Earth.
Yeah.
Now, what killed everybody else?
Yeah.
You're led to believe it was some kind of pandemic. It wasn't like a nuclear war or anything because everything's still standing. But it looks like whatever it was, it must have been some kind of like disease. It must have happened really fast because when he goes in like to clean houses up, like some people were just like sitting at their dinner table and like died. Like they didn't fall on the floor or nothing.
Yeah.
So it must have happened like really, really quickly.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was a disease. It was something... Because when you looked at it, some of those bodies died at the dinner table as if they didn't even feel like they were sick.
Yeah.
It was almost kind of made me think it may have been something like, what do you call that shit? It's when a star explodes and then a neutrino burst. That's what it's called. They've actually thought that might happen, that a neutrino burst, that the Earth could get caught in a neutrino burst and it would kill everybody that was unprotected. You know, so maybe the people that survived were just in a place at a certain time that protected them from the neutrinos because it looked like they were just zapped.
Looked like, I mean, some of the people were like just in bed. Like you said, some of the people were just sitting at the table. They looked like
they
were doing normal shit.
They were doing normal shit.
Yeah, they just looked like
they died without
shit.
Warning. And evidently it all happened at exactly the same time everywhere. It happened in a day.
I mean, she doesn't really say, like, how long ago it was. It seems like it was quite a while ago because...
Yeah, they weren't that rotten, so about a year.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Like, some of the bodies looked like they were decayed and, like, started to mummify a little bit.
A little bit, right. They were dry. They weren't wet.
Yeah. So it had obviously been long enough for them to all kind of, like...
It looked more like, because the way the bodies were, I would say it was something exotic. They never say what it is because they don't know what it was. It was, but I think it might have been something like a fucking...
Yeah, he's basically just like...
Like a neutrino burst.
He's just like, everybody just died and he's... Yeah.
Which that's possible.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if it would all happen in one day because the Earth has to rotate.
Yeah.
Inside the burst.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't want to spoil too much about where this goes.
Right. So whatever it was, some people survived it.
Yeah.
And the movie kind of goes along kind of slow, but it keeps your attention because stuff is happening through the whole thing, and it feels like something is going to happen. And eventually it does. But I don't want to fucking spoil it, man. It's just because I don't think many people saw this movie.
Yeah, I hadn't even, like, heard of it. And it just seemed like... And then when it came out, like, I found a few reviews of it, most of which were very meh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People were just like, well, you know, the acting's good and everything, but it does. There's not much there.
There is there.
Yeah, I think it's very subtle, and it's kind of, like, more a character piece. I think it's...
It's realistic.
I don't know if it, like, necessarily sold itself as, like, being science fiction. It does have a sprinkling of science fiction.
Yeah.
But I think it's more like a character study or, like, a drama. And it's kind of talking about... And, you know, for the first, like, 20, 25 minutes of the movie, it's just Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
So he's not, like... He thinks he's the only person left on Earth. So it's like he's not talking. He's just going about his normal daily routine.
Yeah, you know, he comes people.
Yeah, I mean...
Stuff.
And he almost kind of is like... He keeps trying... Like, he goes in everybody's house, cleans up the bodies, buries the bodies, and he cleans the house up. Like, you know, he just sprays and cleans and bleaches and everything like that. And then he takes all their photos and files them. Like, he lives in the town's library.
Yeah.
Because he's real. And I don't know if he was a librarian before whatever happened. I'm guessing he probably was. But he lives in the library. So he goes and, like, brings the books back and he keeps them, like, almost like... like it's a working library. Like he keeps it all cataloged. He keeps everything cataloged. So I'm assuming that he did live in the library before.
Yeah.
So he's just been going along and he's just like seems perfectly fine that there's nobody left on Earth. He's just kind of having his little life and he's just like, this is nice.
Kind of the main.
It's nice and quiet.
When you watch the movie, when you get to the end, you realize that what the movie's about is that the main theme of the story is that if a disaster happens, the survivors, okay, are going to fall in a couple different categories. You're going to have some people who accept the new situation for how it is and enjoy it. You're going to have other people that try to recapture the past and rebuild the past, even if that wasn't all that good, you know, or even if that's not possible to recapture the past. Because, face it, you know what I mean, a lot of people like what's happening now because they have a lot of, kind of say, they have a status in life that gives them feelings of self-worth. In other words, they're, you know, the house that they live in, the profession that they have, the respect that they have from the community, and, you know, the quote-unquote being normal, I guess you could say, or being respectable. Well, if most people are dead and you only got a, you know, a couple hundred thousand survivors in the world, what would it matter? You know, well, none of that would matter. You could have, anybody could have the best house they'd ever wanted just by just walking up into it, you know. A lot of things wouldn't have, a lot of things wouldn't be that valuable because there were, everything would be plentiful. The survivors were kind of in a land of plenty. They could do, and they were very free. You didn't need a profession per se. People just did shit that they wanted to do. Like, he didn't have to clean up the damn town.
Well, yeah, but that's what he wanted
to do. Right.
Well, he didn't have to, like, catalog all the books or their photos, but he wanted to.
Right.
And no one was around to tell him not to.
No.
That's how he wanted to spend his life, and that was.
And you think he lived in the library, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what I said.
He slept. He wouldn't even. His old house was there. He didn't go into it. And he didn't take a mansion or anything. So, well, he's doing what he wants to do, and everybody else is doing what they want to do, and it looks very different because there are other people. But you find out at the end of the movie what the other people are doing. And, you know, there's another group of survivors that's basically trying to recreate the past even though they don't have to. It's like an artificial
That's kind of like, don't say too much more than that. Because it's about like, it's not, I wouldn't call it like a big twist or anything like that. But because mostly, like I said, the first 20 minutes or so, like Peter Dinklage, it's kind of established that, you know, he lives in the lab. He just lives a very quiet life. He seems, you know, maybe not happy, but he seems like content. Like, you know, this is fine. Like I said, seemed like he wasn't a real social person before. So he's just like, oh, it's nice and quiet. You know, he goes out fishing, and after he's done cleaning people's houses for the day, he goes out fishing and gets some fish and brings it back and cooks his food and everything like that. And he seems like perfectly happy. And then like one night, he's actually woken up like before the car wreck. He's actually woken up by fireworks. Remember that? He sees fireworks like across the lake, and he's like, what the fuck is that all about?
Yeah.
And then like the next day, he hears a car alarm.
Yeah.
And he goes and he finds like this car has like gone up on a curb or like hit a pole or something like that. And he finds like Elle Fanning. Her name's Grace. His name's Del, actually.
Yeah.
And she's like unconscious. And so he does take her back to the library and like, you know, fixes her up and everything. But after that, he's just kind of like, yeah, you need to get the fuck out, because they had kind of like my life. But she's like, no, man, I want to hang out here. And she's like the complete polar opposite to him. She's very boisterous and she's very loud.
Yeah, she reminds me of our friend Kaylee.
Yeah.
She's just kind of like,
she's very
fun.
She's very bubbly, like, wee, yay! You know what I mean?
Trying to make fun because there was nothing to do.
Yeah. And then she finds a puppy, and it's just, you can tell that he's just kind of like, fuck this. You know what I mean? Because he's just like, was so used to his solitude, and here comes this girl just like messing everything up. And
when he found her in the car, knocked out, because she ran into it wasn't a fire hydrant, was it?
It might have been a fire hydrant, or I think it was, I don't think it was a pole, but it hit something.
I guess she fell asleep behind the wheel or something. I don't think it was ever clear, or she just wrecked the car somehow, driving like a maniac. In the back seat she had a stainless revolver back there. And I think it kind of spooked him at first, and later on he says, what do you have a gun for?
Yeah, because there's like nobody around.
Yeah, and he says, in case I need, see, you know, in case I need to protect myself, and he goes, there's nobody here.
Yeah, from who?
Yeah. Because there was nobody around as far as he knew. Hadn't seen anybody. Which was kind of a good survivalist twist. Because in most other post-apocalyptic movies, you know, they're armed up, most of the characters.
Yeah.
Because there are fucking survivors. This dude's convinced that there's nobody, really. There's not enough.
Yeah, and he doesn't really have to worry about it.
Which, in a situation that's being portrayed in this particular post-apocalyptic story, is plausible. The collapse happened so fast there was no chaos. Everyone was killed.
Yeah.
So what was left was just a few survivors. They'd be happy to see each other.
Yeah.
So there'd be no reason to fight. Everything is just for the taking, so you don't have to steal anything or kill anybody to get anything. You can just walk right into a grocery store, and there were just fucking canned food all over the shelves.
Yeah, because they showed, like, at one point, him and Grace go in there, and obviously some of the stuff is spoiled. You can't eat it.
But not the cans.
But not the cans. And it's just, like, it didn't look like there'd been looting or anything. So whatever happened, like, happened immediately.
It was immediately.
Because nobody, everything is just laying right there.
So there was no environmental pressure on anybody. So it would be peaceful in that circumstances. At least for the most part, you know. But, you know, complications happen later in the movie.
Yeah.
Which is another thing that might happen in a situation like this. I thought it was a very good movie. It was...
I did, too.
I thought it was a good movie. It was a good idea.
It didn't go in the direction that I was expecting, which I liked.
No. There were certain parts, certain aspects of the story kind of reminded me of a more realistic kind of a... simplified version of A Boy and His Dog that had fucking Don Johnson in it. There's another post-apocalyptic movie. You never see that one because the character in that one had a robotic dog who was an old police dog, and Don Johnson, who's this post-apocalyptic teenage kid, all his whole purpose was just to run around and rape and kill girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fucking wild movie. And,
whereas this character just wants to, like, live in his library and eat some fish. And
right, yeah.
Have and enjoy the quiet.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I feel that. Yeah. That's probably what I'd be doing too, to be honest with you. I'm just like, hey, it's so nice and quiet, everyone's gone.
In A Boy and His Dog, there's one group of survivors that are trying to rebuild the 1950s country life, which is kind of like certain people in this movie are trying to rebuild the lives that they had. And they're going to do it through unconventional means. It's pretty good.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, I didn't really expect it to go in that direction, so I kind of, like, liked it. I forgot to mention that the director of this, her name is Reed Morano, and she was also the cinematographer, which is significant because the cinematography in this is, like, really, really nice, very, very good with the world building. She's directed a lot of things, but I think she's probably most famous for doing the pilot episode of The Handmaid's Tale, you know, the series, which I love that. So I thought that was, like, super cool. I didn't know that she had directed this movie, like, when I first started watching it. Can I also say the score of this? I loved the
score
of this.
Yeah.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, did you guys watch that German series that was on Netflix called Dark? The score reminded me of that. It was, like, really, really ominous. And I really, really dug it. Like, I thought it was really good. But, yeah, it's... this. Like I said, don't go into this thinking it's going to be some action-packed... It is a slow burn. It's, like, a character study more than anything. And it's post-apocalyptic, but it's... And it has a little bit of sci-fi, like, a sci-fi angle to it, but it's not, like...
It's got a Last Man on Earth fantasy element to it, though. Like, what would I do, and this and that. You can think about it. It's well thought out. It's not... hokey. It's well thought out. It's realistic for the situation that's being shown. If everybody would die, like, in one day. Yeah, that's what it would be like.
Yeah.
I liked everything about it. Only thing I didn't
like
was the title. I think the title did not do the movie justice. You hear the title and you don't know what kind of movie that is. It almost sounds like it might be a romantic comedy or something. I don't think it fit the movie well.
Yeah, and it's not really... I mean, because they don't really... I mean, there is, like, a little bit... Do you want to say there's, like, a little bit of a romance, I guess? But it's not really... That's not really, like, the main point of the movie. It's kind of more like a friendship,
more like a
really.
Friendship, right.
You know what I mean? Like, as they... And they're kind of, like, an odd couple, because he's, like, very, very stoic and quiet and kind of cranky, and she's, like, very bubbly and outgoing.
Yeah, but he was also not really up to the task when it came to bravery. He had to kind of think about this shit and fucking... He wasn't there for her. He had to come back and... He had to man up and resolve it, go get her type of deal. She said what had happened. He rejected that. But you got to see the movie.
Yeah, and I think...
He didn't believe her.
Yeah, I think it was more a sense that he didn't believe her. He thought she was full of shit. And he's like, oh, you're just another one of those people that, like...
Yeah.
You know, just...
Right, but he had to become the hero.
Yeah. And I kind of think that he was just kind of like, oh, you're just like all the other ones, get the fuck out of here.
Cast was fucking good. I thought it was casted well. Acting was real good. Just I liked it. It was a good movie.
Yeah, I did
too. I'd own this movie. I'll get this on Blu-ray eventually. Put it in my collection.
It's interesting because
it's going to be one of those unappreciated movies. It definitely is.
Because like I said, there's not a huge amount of reviews of it, and the written reviews that I saw were mostly like pretty mixed on it. They were kind of like, oh, the cinematography is nice, and the concept is nice, and the acting is good, but they didn't really think there was that much substance to it. But I disagree. I think there was a lot of stuff going on.
It's visual.
Underneath.
It's showing these situations, and you have to have empathy for the characters and put yourself in that position. And also, if you have a good history of other post-apocalyptic movies, you understand what you're being shown.
Yeah.
Because you have other things to compare it to. The differences in the situations of how it started, you know, that kind of, I thought he did a good job.
Yeah.
It's not a big budget movie.
Obviously it's an independent film.
But that's great. Yeah. You know? But if you want to do a post-apocalyptic movie, you do it like this.
Yeah.
This is how you do it. It doesn't cost a whole lot of money, but I still got that feeling that he was in an empty city by himself. So that's perfect. You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this is definitely how you do something on a low budget.
Mm-hmm.
She was lucky because she got really good actors too. You know? I mean, that was probably like
there is actually in this movie an opening for a sequel. You could expand this out. You could expand it.
Yeah,
it's
you definitely could.
It's a situation similar to Stephen King's The Stand. An apocalypse.
Yeah,
kind of like
we
that.
Kind of said this could almost be in the same universe as that.
You're right. The difference was that in the Stand they did die quickly, so there was a lot of stuff laying around.
Yeah.
The pandemic, I think, took place in about a week or so. I think pretty much everybody was dead in a week or so. So there wasn't a lot of chaos and warfare before they were all dead. Just some. This one, it seemed to happen in one day. But it's a similar. It seems like it could be a similar universe. Now, I'm not talking about like the, you know, the revelation aspect with God, the devil, and all that. You know, but I'm just saying the way the civilians were and the way the situation is of an empty world, about like that. It could be almost in the same. It could have been in the same universe, just off to the side somewhere, and nobody not knowing that town was even there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's kind of like the impression I got of it. Yeah. He was just because it was a small town. They said, "Hey, you said how many people it was? 1,600. 1,600. That's how many people lived in the town, and they were all dead.
That was his town. He stayed there.
Yeah.
So,
because why would he leave? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny because when he first meets Grace, she's saying, "Oh, I've been driving around the country, going to all the landmarks." She said she was on her way to Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. Like, she was going around, like, looking at all this stuff, but then she decided to, like, stay with him instead. So, like I said, there's a lot of stuff. There's not a huge amount of dialogue, but I feel like there's a lot of stuff going on, like, underneath the surface.
Yeah.
Like, with the visuals and
Khan said he saw it
and
didn't understand the end. I kind of mentioned it earlier on. I don't know when you showed up, but there's a meaning to it. You know, some people will try to rebuild the past that they lost, and if they have to do unethical things to rebuild a past, they'll do that. The way they were, you know, some people will want to recapture their social standing and status in life by living a suburban middle-class life with, you know, careers and social status and neighbors and mowing lawns and shit. And not all that would be obsolete. You could go out and live in any mansion you wanted to. You didn't have to work. Everything was for free. You know? There was fucking decades of fucking food and equipment and out there, you know? They were stealing solar panels to get electric power. And, you know, just when you have such a rapid population reduction, there isn't any stress on the people. You know?
Yeah.
Cans of food everywhere.
Yeah, I mean,
you can live for decades.
Yeah, if it was just one person, you'd never run out. And he went fishing. Like, he would go fishing because I guess it didn't kill the animals.
Yeah, and there'd be abandoned towns and cities all over North America. You know, you couldn't eat everything. Canned food will stay good for decades and decades.
Yeah. You'd never run out.
No. And then wildlife would take over. The deer hunting and the fishing would be great. You'd have cows walking around. It'd probably turn into
herds. Yeah, you didn't see a lot of animals. Like, there was at one point where they found a puppy, and he did seem to go fishing every day, because he seemed to, like, really, like... Well, he was using chopsticks and stuff. I guess he was making... So he was making fish, like, all the time. Sly said, I would see it just because of Paul Giamatti. He's not in it a lot. He's, like, more in it toward the end. So he's kind of, like, a minor role in it. And asks, where was it filmed? I think, like I said, I think it's supposed to be upstate New York, although I'm not entirely sure if that's where they filmed it.
And then some of it, I think, might supposed to be Palm Springs. But I don't know if it is Palm Springs, but I think it's supposed to be Palm Springs.
Yeah, because a lot of times, I think, with things that are supposed to be upstate New York, like, a lot of times they'll film it in Canada.
Yeah.
But maybe not. I mean, maybe they filmed this in a real ghost town. I'm not entirely sure, because it doesn't look like they did a lot of, like, set dressing or anything. But... I don't know. I'd have to, like, look that up. I don't even think it says, because I have, like, some notes from the Wikipedia page, but I don't think it says where they shot it, interestingly. But I'm sure I could find out. It might be on IMDb or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, you have anything else you would add? Yeah, like I said, I don't really want to spoil it, because I feel like a lot of people haven't seen it, and I didn't really expect it to go in the direction that it went in. Right. And I was like, so I was kind of like, oh, okay, we're doing this. That's, like, that's weird.
Yeah.
I'm kind of into it.
Con, if you see it again, he says everything is said. It's just that sometimes it's said, and you got to pick up on what was said about people being paired up, and it's just, you know, it was an artificially assembled type situation.
Yeah. All right, so that'll do it for today. Now, tomorrow is our main show, episode 306, and we are going to do, should be a fun one, we're going to do a history of, we're going to talk about spiritualism and seances.
Yeah.
Which, I've been wanting to do this one for a while, so, because I love all this stuff about seances. Okay. And fucking, I think we've covered, like, some kind of, like, spiritualism topics before, because I think we did, we talked about, like, the Philip experiment, we've talked about, like, other things, like, kind of around it, I think a long time ago, we did a show about Houdini, and about how he would go debunk seances and stuff, but that was so long ago, and I don't think we've ever done one that was...
We did Skull Experiment.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. But yeah, so that'll be tomorrow. So hopefully you guys can come by for that, because like I said, I think it'll be a good time. So thanks for dropping by today, and we will see you guys again tomorrow.